Well, we're to us about Joseph, and God was with us from Acts 7, verse 9. So, Brother Alex?
Dear brethren, I must say that I'm delighted to be here. And it's such a wonderful, refreshing, and encouraging convention. And from the platform, we receive such a blessing from the brethren who have expounded the Word of God and given us instruction and counsel that we may worship God in spirit and in truth. And that is what we're looking for, to be encouraged and strengthened in this narrow way. And especially, dear brethren, we're living in the closing days of this old world, and we need all the help that we can obtain. I thought about using this subject, brethren, because it's so far-reaching, Joseph and the brethren. You can reach from this subject, from this story, practically all the doctrines of the divine plan and purpose of God. And here again, when we consider the fall of the human family through Adam and all the human beings that have developed from Adam to the present time, when you consider that those early days of human history, and that to take an individual who has faith in God, like Joseph, and furthermore, we know that Joseph's family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the father, Isaac the grandfather, Abraham the great-grandfather. And it is because of their faith that Joseph was selected in one way to illustrate the divine purpose of God in connection with the redemption of the human race. And it is marvelous how an individual who has faith in God, like Joseph, that he would be able to be faithful in all the divine arrangements and experiences of life, of his life, that he would illustrate the great Messiah who was to come. Now, it seems to me that Joseph did not know that he would be illustrating our Savior, but our Lord Jesus said in Jerusalem to the disciples, as well to those who others that listen to the words of life. He said in John 5:46, he said, if you would believe in Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote of me. Moses wrote of our Lord Jesus. Now, how did he write? Well, by the illustrations of the lives of people who would illustrate and demonstrate in their lives the great Messiah that was to come. Joseph has been such a wonderful lesson. There is so many details in connection with the life of Joseph that is like one brother had said, if you go into the woods and you pick mushrooms, and you pick all the mushrooms you can, and then the next day you go there and you'll find some more. And that is the way it is. So truly, brethren, there are so many lessons there that we are not able to touch upon them because time would prohibit it. But nevertheless, we'll take a broad picture of the divine purpose as illustrated in Joseph and the brethren. First of all, we recall that Jacob, he had a strong faith in God. Jacob have I loved, and Esau I have loved less, is said in the Minor Prophets. Jacob's faith was strong, and I'm sure that is Joseph was a young man that he was instructed by the father, Jacob, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised that some writers think that Joseph was about 12 years of age, living in Hebron, and that he talked visited with his grandfather, Isaac. So I'm sure that instruction and counsel that he had inherited from his family was deeply impressed upon his mind. And so as he grew to young manhood, he began to have dreams. Now, we know that dreams are not used of the Lord, but as the prophet Jeremiah had said, that I have also spoken by the prophets. That is in not Jeremiah, but rather Hosea 12:10. I'm referring to what is said in the Old Testament. I have also spoken by the prophets. I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. See? I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. And so Joseph's dream was used to illustrate. Now, in Jeremiah 23:28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. But in those early days, the dream of Joseph was expressed to his brethren. Now, Joseph had 11 brothers. 10 of them were by other wives, that is, Jacob. 10 of them were by other wives, but Jacob, Joseph, and Benjamin were by Rachel. And Rachel was much loved by Jacob. And notice that these others were born before Joseph and Benjamin. This illustrates the divine purpose in connection with the Jewish people. The first 10 were first brought into existence. That illustrates to my mind that the nation of Israel were first brought into existence, and that our Lord Jesus is a picture, that is, of Joseph. Joseph and Benjamin were brought later. And notice, Jacob loved Joseph, and he presented him with many colors, a coat. And, of course, this brought on jealousy and hatred of the older brothers. And then Joseph, having a dream and telling about the dream to the brethren, the dream was that all the 11, or rather the 11 sheaves would bow to him, to his sheaf. And then he had also another dream where the stars and the moon and all would bow down and to him. And the parents said, will we also bow? And it was a dream foretelling of things to come. But Joseph was hated. Oh, how they hated him. And isn't that something, how jealousy takes over? And jealousy, as it mentioned, is cruel as the grave, isn't it? Oh, this is a great problem of the world ever since, jealousy. And as the brethren expressed, the hatred, the opposition to those who love God has been constant. And so here the brethren hated Joseph because of his dreams and because of the father's choice as a favorite son, Joseph. many-colored coat, and that added to the situation. But Joseph was instructed by Jacob the father to see and report the welfare of the brethren. They were in a distant land, taking care of the cattle, whatever they were, and Jacob asked Joseph to go and to find them and to report upon them. And so Joseph did. He was at the age of 17. Can you imagine 17 years of age going out into the countryside, probably long distance, I don't know how long, but it was risky, and he probably had to stay overnight and so forth with the wild animals surrounding the area, but he did go. And so it is mentioned that Jacob sent Joseph. He was doing the will of his father. Now, brethren, right off the bat, we can think of our Lord Jesus. If you remember, he said in John the 5th chapter, 30-something, I can't remember it now, but anyway, Jesus said, I came not of myself, God has sent me. Jesus did not come by himself. He did not initiate that purpose of coming down to this planet Earth. God had sent him, and he came for the very purpose of not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father. So you see the picture already begins, showing, illustrating our Lord Jesus and his life for the purpose of giving a redemption. And so Joseph then finds them. The next morning, he locates them. He inquires where they are, and they told him some distant town or location, and he found them. Well, you can imagine these other brethren, 10 of them. Benjamin was at home, but the 10 brethren were taking care of cattle. You can imagine what they said. And this is what, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. And they hated him. And what did they do? They contrived a way of getting rid of him. They were going to kill him at first. But they thought, why should we shed blood? And so their suggestion was given by one of them that they put him into a well. And can you imagine how Joseph felt? Oh, my. Put him into a well. And incidentally, one writer tells us that that well was quite deep, but it was bottle shape at the opening. Do you know what I mean? See, bottle shape. So that anyone who was put down in that well, he couldn't climb out. How could he climb out? And really, I can imagine how Joseph pleaded with them and cried out. As a matter of fact, it is mentioned that in Psalm 105, something is mentioned by David about Joseph. We would not know that in the account, but here in Psalm 105, verses 17 and down from 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron until the time the word came and the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the rulers of people let him go free. He made him lord and so on. But you see, how terrible Joseph must have felt. to be put into that well. Now, brethren, let us try to put ourselves there. Right? How would you feel? That's an awful situation. Jealousy and hatred of his brethren. And so he was put into the well. But the brethren, unconcerned, were having a feast, and while they were eating, the Ishmaelites were traveling down to Egypt. And they got the idea, let us sell him. Yeah? And so they pulled Joseph out and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And Joseph is going down into Egypt. That's interesting. I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but Jesus said let us go up to Jerusalem. But whenever it is mentioned in Egypt, you're always going down. And so Joseph went down into Egypt. But what else did the brethren do? The older brethren. They took Joseph's coat of many colors and killed an animal and sprinkled the coat with blood. And they sent it back to the father Jacob. Now, brother, can you imagine how Jacob felt? He lost his son. He's been killed. His coat is here and it's full of blood. How terrible, how awful he must have felt to have that one son that he loved. And so Jacob endured patiently, waited. But Joseph was sent down into Egypt, and there he would put on the slave market. Can you imagine a young man, 17 years of age, on the slave market? And Potiphar, one minister of the guard, I imagine the military, saw him and bought him for his own purpose. And Joseph was taken into Potiphar's household. And there he performed the services required of him. And Potiphar noticed that whatever Joseph did, it prospered. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful on Joseph's part to take a circumstance and make the best of it? And it all turns out for the better. Now, Joseph didn't rebel. He did the best he could under those circumstances. And brethren, when you and I are in trial, I think this is a beautiful lesson. Instead of rebelling of the circumstances and the conditions, whatever they might be, I know it's not easy. It wasn't easy for Joseph to endure all that. But whatever circumstances, I'm just giving a little lesson for myself as well as everyone, is to make the best of the circumstances and patiently wait. And so that's what Joseph did all those years. But you know, I wondered, here, Joseph was a wonderful servant. Potiphar had placed him in an advantageous position because he noticed his sincerity, his honesty, and his endeavor to do things right. He placed him in such a position to take care of his household. What a wonderful testimony that is. He left everything to Joseph. But brethren, I was thinking, why didn't Joseph escape? He could have escaped from that condition. He was free as far as not being bound, you know, by chains or anything of that nature. He was free to travel in the locality of Potiphar's household. He could have run away, but he didn't. I've often wondered about that. Wouldn't you and I, that's the first thing we'd think about, and escape and run away and go back home? But he didn't. Somehow, dear brethren, it's mentioned in the scriptures that God was with him. Could it be that by divine grace and mercy, he was instructed to stay there, doing whatever the Father wanted him, the Heavenly Father? He might have been, I do not know, but as you know human nature, it would have a tendency to run away. But Joseph didn't. And lo and behold, for 10 years he worked so well, and everything prospered. He was a nice young man, right? 10 years older, 27 years of age. One day Potiphar had to go away. And you know, Potiphar's wife tempted him. And he avoided it. He avoided it always. And it was not just one time, but many times. And finally, Potiphar's wife grabbed a hold of Joseph and took his coat off. And she held it. And when Potiphar came home, she reported to him, "Look what Joseph has tried to do to me." Isn't that something? She took the coat and showed it to him. That's Joseph. I wonder if Joseph then was put into prison, into a dungeon, brother. A terrible dungeon. Out here in Connecticut, we have a place where they held prisoners during the Civil War. It was on the mountaintop there, and they dug a hole right down in the rock and into a cavity. And there you could hear the water drip. I went down there just purposely. That was a dungeon. Can you imagine living in that little shallow place, water dripping? And I'm thinking, maybe Joseph was like that, in such a prison. But there were others there in the prison of which Joseph was held. Now, when you stop to think about it, Joseph could have yielded to her and had all the advantages, everything under his control. Maybe that would fulfill the dream that he would be a ruler in charge. Everyone would bow to him. Maybe that would be an opportunity. Oh, what a temptation that would be. And our Lord Jesus had that temptation. You remember Satan in the fourth chapter of Matthew and in Luke? Jesus had that temptation given by Satan. Jump off the pinnacle, because it is written, "Thou shalt not dash thy foot against the stone." And Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And another one, that if you would bow down to me, all these kingdoms I would give to you. And Joseph could have, if he bowed to the suggestion of Potiphar's wife, he would have everything under his control and to his advantage. That is a strong temptation. And Joseph, being about 27 years of age, a young man, but he avoided the temptation. and was put into prison. Now you see, 10 years. Can you imagine? He often thought about his father, his family. He did not go back, but he stayed there. And now he's into a dungeon for how long, brother? For 3 years. Because as he endured for 3 years, and even the prison warden noticed the conduct of Joseph, that he behaved himself very properly. And while he was there, two of Pharaoh's household, the butler and baker, were brought in for some misdemeanor. And they had a dream. The butler and baker had a dream. And Joseph was told about the dream. And do you know, Joseph said, God is the interpreter of the dream. He will interpret. Now, Joseph had a dream. I would think he would say, well, I had some dreams, and look what has happened. I'm in prison, right? And I'm supposed to rule and govern eventually. All was to bow before me. But Joseph's faith was still strong, brother, in that dungeon. My, when you really take it into consideration, brother, it's something. And he said, God is the interpreter. And so he interpreted the dream. The baker was slain, his life was taken away, but the butler's life was retained. But Joseph told him that when he gets back into Pharaoh's household, to remember him, because he's in here blameless. And it was quite a while. Joseph still was in prison. One day Pharaoh had a dream. And that dream was that 7 fat cattle swallowed 7 lean cattle. And no one could interpret it. No one could give any analysis to the dream. Except the butler remembered that there was a young man in the dungeon who interpreted the dream, and it came to pass as he had said. And so he mentioned it to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh then called for Joseph. And it is written they had to wash and shave him. That is an implication of the condition of the dungeon. And so they brought Joseph out of the dungeon and before Pharaoh, cleaned, washed, a young man of 30 years of age. Remember, he was 17. 10 years as a slave in Potiphar's household, 3 years in a dungeon. And now he is called before Pharaoh to interpret the dream. And so it was explained. And Joseph then said, that is God who's going to interpret the dream. And that there would be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And because of Joseph's ability to explain the dream, Joseph was placed next to Pharaoh. And they had made a parade through the streets. And Joseph was second. and he had a ring, chain, and all were to bow before him. Can you imagine what all of a sudden, from a dungeon to being next to Pharaoh, and there Joseph began to reign, as it were. But it's interesting to note, brethren, that before Joseph began to reign as ruler in all the land of Egypt, to gather for 7 years of plenty and to build storehouses, that he was given a wife. Joseph was given a new name too, which means bread of life, nourisher. And he was given a wife, Asenath, which means favor. And he was united with her before he started to build storehouses and begin to gather the food for 7 years. To me, brethren, that's just a little suggestion that in the kingdom of Christ, our Lord Jesus, the marriage of the wife had made herself ready. 19th chapter of Revelation. Before our Lord Jesus can reign, she has to be united with our Master. These are little tiny pictures that illustrate things to come. And so, therefore, Joseph collected food for 7 years. Brethren, can you imagine what Joseph was thinking? That, of course, when he was gathering his food, no one was looking for Joseph. No. But he was thinking, I'm sure, of his family in the land of Canaan. About his family. He knew that they would have to come to him. And so when the 7 years of plenty came to pass and the storehouses were full, scattered throughout the country, then the famine began. And that famine was really severe, so that all nations around Egypt were coming to Joseph, to the governor in the land of Egypt. Other nations were coming because of this starvation. And Jacob heard that there was food in Egypt. And so he said to the sons that he heard there was food in Egypt. And you know, the account says they all looked at each other, the brother. Why? Because they knew that Joseph was sold in Egypt. That's where they sold him. They thought they would, you know, he might be there, but they didn't know. And so they come to Egypt. You can imagine the caravan, the brethren and others going down into Egypt. And they arrive where Joseph was located. And I feel that Joseph at the time had all strangers come to a certain place, certain locality, all foreigners. And when he saw his brethren come, can you imagine? He saw his brethren coming. And there he began to speak to them. But notice how he does it. He doesn't do it directly, but through an interpreter. Through an interpreter. And he said, ye are spies. You've come to invade the land. And they protested, no, no, no. And so he dealt roughly with them. He spoke quite roughly, but that was intended, purposely. Not that he was angered, but he was indicating something. And I marvel at the wisdom of Joseph in dealing with this problem. And so he takes Simeon and he puts him into prison, and he tells the servants to fill their bags with food and put the money back in, and then he sent them back home. And the brethren go back home. I do not know how long it took, but it must have taken weeks probably. And so he sent them back. But on the way they noticed, as they stopped in certain places, that their money was found in their bag. And they were curious. And so they told the father what had happened. And now, brethren, as the time goes on, the food is run out, and now Jacob sends. I must say that as they came back home, they told Jacob all about this. And Simeon was in prison, and he says, Joseph is gone. He said, Jacob said, everything is against me. The 43rd chapter. Everything is against me. But brethren, everything was for Jacob. But at the moment, everything is against him. Do you ever find that in your life? We think everything is against us. But yet, by divine purpose and all, everything was for him, because we know of the outcome. And so, again, a year must have gone by or so, and he sends them back in to Egypt, and with all the money and everything back to Egypt. But they couldn't come, they told the father, unless they brought their brother with them, because the governor in the land asked him, if you have a brother, and so on. And they couldn't come until they brought Benjamin. And then they come back into Egypt. Now, brethren, they are taken into the governor's home, a palace maybe, or something. And they were taken into that palace. And there, Joseph, they didn't know who he was, placed them around the table according to their age. And they looked at one another, sort of surprised. But they notice, and then Joseph must have been nearby, sitting in a chair or something, nearby listening to them. Joseph knew them, but they didn't know him. And brethren, isn't that true, the first advent of Christ? Jesus knew the Jewish people, but they did not know him. And Joseph spoke through an interpreter. And our Lord Jesus did that too. How? In Matthew the 13th. In parables and without a parable spake he not. So hearing they could not hear, seeing they could not see. And so you see the illustrations there. But now Joseph takes, and the governor in the land, it tells the servant to put all the food in the bag, to put the money in the bag, but put in Benjamin, his brother from the same mother, to put in his bag a cup. And so the next morning they go off. And in the morning, Joseph sent the servant. And you just can imagine how they were concerned. They saw the servant, probably a camel, running to them. And they said, who had taken a cup? And beginning from the oldest son down to Benjamin, he found the cup, and there they come. And now, brethren, they're coming back. Can you imagine how they were trembling? They were perplexed. And do you know the older brother made a security to the father that if they didn't bring Benjamin back, that they would substitute their life. And look at 22 years ago, they didn't care about Joseph. Now they're concerned about one another. And so here they are. They come back. And Judah then pleads as never before. And the account is so beautiful, brother. And I wouldn't be as surprised that he actually kneeled before the governor and pleaded. Joseph, his emotions must have, can you imagine how he could control himself? And he finally went into another room and washed himself and came back. And he told all the servants that were in the room to go out, the Egyptian servants. And here is Joseph in regal clothes standing before them all by themselves, and he says to the brethren in the Hebrew language, "I am Joseph whom he sold in Egypt." Brother, can you understand the consternation? Huh? Can you? They couldn't believe it. This was Joseph. And the weeping was so terrible, loud, that the Egyptians outside the building could hear it. Brethren, is that a picture of something? Indeed it is. The time is coming, brethren, when the antitypical Joseph, our Lord Jesus, will make himself known to the Jewish people. And in Zechariah, remember, they shall mourn, 12th chapter, 10th verse, they shall mourn for him as their only begotten son. As the Egyptians heard the cry in Joseph's time, so will, and Egypt is the picture of the world, so will the whole world hear about the divine arrangements in connection with the antitypical Joseph. He'll make himself known. And brethren, that is before us. And the 30th chapter of Jeremiah is a beautiful illustration of Jacob's trouble. The Jews who still have trouble, they still do not recognize their Messiah. They will someday, brethren, and it's not far off. Because through that nation, the kingdom will begin, through the nation of Israel, and not to any other nations at all, but through Israel. You remember, salvation is to the Jew first. Not only the recognition of the high calling to the Jews first, but also to the kingdom. And in the Minor Prophets it says, "I will save the tents of Judah first." And so that is what's before us. Joseph revealing himself to the nation of Israel. Well, but just how it will be done, I do not know the details. But it's coming. And the time has gone by. I just want to say this. Joseph, brother, Joseph, then he stores the food in all the bags that the brethren had, his brethren had, and also he provides wagon loads of food and delicacies of all kind for his father. And Joseph was pleading, "Is my father alive? Is that?" I just can imagine. And now they're coming home. And can you imagine how anxious they were to tell the father that Joseph is alive? And so they come home and they tell Jacob. And he just couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that Joseph was alive. But when he saw the wagon loads, because they didn't have wagons in here, Israel, and he saw the wagon loads, then he believed. And he was requested to go back in, to go to see his son whom he thought he lost. Now, brother, what a beautiful picture that is. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine Jacob getting ready to go and the families, about 70 souls, going back into Egypt? Huh? Oh, what a scene that was. And now, brother, here's Jacob and the group of people with him, the family, are approaching. They go to Goshen. And then they make an arrangement to meet with Joseph. That must have been a very emotional experience. Huh? Brother, I can't help but think, the whole world has been crying and pleading. They've lost their loved ones. They thought they'll never see them again. Huh? And yet the time will come when they will see their loved ones, when the ransom of the Lord shall return to Zion and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon them. The joy and the weeping will be something as manifested there. Jacob thought he'd never see his son. How many people thought they'll never see their loved ones? And yet they will. And so when Jacob, you can just picture Joseph coming to him in regal clothes. There must have been such a weeping, brother. Tears of joy. Well, I must, just a little bit more, brother. Tears of joy to all those friends. That's what's coming. Brethren, Joseph, Jacob, the father, lived with Joseph 17 years. Joseph was 17 years old when he left. And now Jacob lived 17 years and he died. And when he died, the brethren said, now Joseph is going to get after us. The reason Joseph didn't punish us is because of the father. And Joseph, when he heard that, he gathered the brethren and listened to what he said to them. He wept. He said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive, to save the whole world then from starvation. Brethren, isn't that true with our Savior?